The commentator Eamon McCann with us this morning. Morning to you, Eamon.
Good morning.
So they say they're struggling. They're being open about it. And yes, this will jar massively with what Matt Baggett said to me just about a month ago now, that they were to launch a major campaign against these things.
Well, if there's a major campaign been launched, I haven't noticed it, and neither, I believe, has anyone else. And if there's one in the offing, I look forward with great interest to discovering what Mr. Baggett meant. I look forward with interest, but with no great sense of expectation. I'm afraid I would agree with and reflect a widespread view on the ground, which is one of cynicism with regard to the pronouncement of the PSNA with regard to RAD. For example, we've just heard that they find it difficult to get that information. That's true, of course. That's true. People are frightened of RAD. Of course they are. There are people, if the experience you have to report is of being threatened with being murdered or maimed, you will think twice and three times about going along to anyone in authority and describing this encounter, lest it happen. But it's also the case, let me give you an example, and this is an example which will come to the minds of thousands of people in Derry when they listen to the type of statement we've just heard. In February last year, a man called Ray Coyle, he's a friend of mine, was shot by RAD, shot three times by a RAD gang in his shop in Waterloo Street in the city centre. Within days of that happening, Ray tells me, and I believe him, I've talked to him on a number of occasions about it, he named the gunman who did this to him, to the PSNA. He says that that's the last he has heard of it. He doesn't know, did they investigate? If they investigated what happened, did they question the people concerned? What did they say if they were questioned? He has heard absolutely nothing.
It's simply not good enough.
Oh, it is true, of course, that it's not good enough, but it also feeds into a widespread belief that there's no point in dealing with the PSNA in this matter. And indeed, I believe that choose my words carefully, that the PSNA were not focused with any clarity on RAD when that organisation emerged a couple of years ago. And that has to do with the genesis of RAD. See, RAD, unfortunately for some commentators and some cross-channel interviewers in the last few days, RAD doesn't fit into the neat narrative of the Northern Ireland story that we're used to, that they're sort of good politicians and good Republicans who have led their people onto the path of peace and accepted the agreement, and that there are other bad Republicans who have refused to accept the settlement and are a continuing armed struggle for a united Ireland in defiance of the wishes of the people, etc., etc. That is not what is happening here. And indeed, I think that the tendency to refer to RAD as a dissident Republican organisation is inaccurate and unhelpful. It's a source of confusion. RAD emerged from within the ranks of the Provisional IRA. Now, that is not to say that they were brought into being by, in any sort of so-called official way, by senior members of the Provisional Republican Movement. That's not to say that, but that's how they emerged. They emerged to carry on a long-established tradition of paramilitary policing, in which the IRA, and not only the IRA, of course, other paramilitary groups, purporting to act in the name of the community, impose order and their rule sort of on working class communities. So when RAD came along, given sort of that tradition and given who they were, given their own histories, it was widely seen as, and indeed was, just a continuation of paramilitary policing. And it seems to me, and a lot of other people, I think, that for a long period that was regarded, it had been regarded prior to the emergence of RAD, as internal housekeeping. This was the local paramilitaries keeping their own communities in order. And a more cynical person than myself might say that they were, if not encouraged to do that, at least that there were people in authority, they were quite pleased that the community was, so to speak, being delivered to the agreement, sort of through, partly, as well as by other means, through this sort of discipline. I don't believe that the PSNA focused on RAD with any determination. They weren't shooting policemen.
Well, Eamon, you're
shooting young working class people.
Yeah, but Eamon, you're making a serious allegation there against the police. You're essentially saying that they are turning a blind eye to this, and they would emphatically deny that.
I think that would be putting it very starkly. I mean, I didn't, Stephen, sort of use that a specific phrase.
But you hinted at it.
Saying sort of in that any police force will have a list of priorities as to what, you know, what puts most time and effort and intelligence work into. And
Matt
so
Baggett
forth.
Has said that, that he cares about this so much, he's having a personal initiative against it.
Well, as I say, I repeat what I say. I mean, if he cares so much about it, isn't it amazing that he announced this personal initiative? And that's the last we've heard of it, just as Ray Coyle. He took a personal initiative when he was asked who did this to you. He named the people concerned.
Well,
and Ray tells me, and I believe him, that that's the last he heard from the PSI.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, I think the media has a role to play there. You've played your part. We will get in touch with the area commander of the area and ask them, is that how they treat people who bring evidence to the police now?
Well, do
that they don't, that they don't even get back to them.
Yeah, well, I mean,
is that it, because how many times have I heard in this programme the police appealing for information? And here we have the police again. Chief Superintendent Stephen Martin saying that the public have a vital role to play. Mm. Well, try telling that to the man who you claim brought information to the police, and the police didn't even so much as give him the courtesy of picking up the phone and telling them where they were in their investigation.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that that person is typical. I mean, he did something unusual in being so forthright and not only giving information to the police, but and then revealing that he had given that information to the police, because, of course, many people, if they give information in such cases to the police, will not want that to be known. And I mean, and what I'm saying is not is not intended to detract at all from the main reason why there's a little information, and that's fear. You know, people are afraid of RAD, and, you know, when people are afraid of doing something, quite often, and understandably, it's a human thing, sort of, they look for a more honourable, if you like, reason for them not to be giving that information. Say, I don't believe in it. This was true right throughout the Troubles. Some people who were terrified into giving the information to anybody would say, well, I'm doing it out of political conviction. I don't believe in the police. You would get people now saying that I believe in RAD, so I'm not giving information or I support what they're doing. A great number of them, if you talk to them in any detail, are really saying, I'm not so stupid as to give information to the police, but A, I don't think the cops are going to do much about it, and B, if RAD finds out, they're going to do something about me.